As we prepare now to come to the Lord's Word together, I'd like to invite Reverend Roger Manassian to come and to lead us in prayer.
Lord Jesus Christ, give us the courage to be like You. Give us the courage to do like You have done. And give Jeremy this day words of courage to inspire us by Your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank You, Roger. Well, that's a fun way to start a sermon, I tell you what. A handful of years ago, it was the summer of 2009, and after serving for 7 years at Chapel Hill Presbyterian Church in Gig Harbor, I had the real privilege of taking a 3-month sabbatical. So we took the summer of 2009 as our sabbatical, and that sabbatical, that time, was a wonderful time of renewal and rest and inspiration and transformation. And one of the highlights from that summer was the month that we spent living in San Clemente. And you got to remember that when you live in Washington, Western Washington, where it rains and all the time, it's nice to get to a place like San Clemente where it's pretty much sunny all the time and wonderful. And we had a great time there. And one of the highlights of San Clemente was that it was only 30 minutes away from Legoland. And Legoland was just the perfect thing. Have any of you been to Legoland? It was perfect for the age of our kids at the time, just perfect. And one of the things that we were looking forward to, there was a roller coaster called the Coastersaurus. That was a roller coaster that every one of our kids could go on. Even Rebecca, who was only 3 1/2 at the time, we could all ride this coaster together. And so we went to Legoland, the much anticipated trip in Southern California. And we got in line, we bought our tickets, and we went directly as a family over to get in line at the Coastersaurus. And we were so excited, but as soon as Kate saw the Coastersaurus, Kate decided she didn't want to have any part of the Coastersaurus. Kate saw it coming over the top, and she got scared. And she said, "Daddy, I don't want to go." And I tried every coaxing thing I could figure out how to do to get her to come and we could all do it as a family and to launch our time at Legoland together. And I couldn't talk her out of it. Kate had decided in the midst of her fear that she would not and need not go on the Coastersaurus. Have you ever faced that kind of fear? Have you ever been afraid to get on a ride? Or maybe you've been afraid to have a certain conversation or to ask the big question or to take that risk or to take a stand or to step out in faith. Today we're continuing in our Advent series called Making Room. And last week we had the privilege of seeing the picture of Jesus' birth through Mary's eyes. And today we're going to see it through a different lens. As we look at Matthew chapter 1, we're going to see this story through the eyes of Joseph. And I think there's something so important for us as a church to grab a hold of and think about in regards to following Jesus in Joseph's story, as we think about making room for what God wants to do in us and what God wants to do through us, because fear almost nixed the whole thing for Joseph. And so if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. And my prayer this morning is that our hearts would be open to God's Word for transformation in our hearts and lives. Do you long for that? Let's come to His Word together. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. If you don't have your own Bible, I encourage you to look in the pew Bible. Should be one nearby you. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's ask him to help us understand it. Lord Jesus, thanks so much for your word, God. Come now by your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts and our minds. Open our lives. So that we wouldn't just hear more stuff and know more stuff. That we would be changed, Lord, by your Spirit. For your sake, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, Amen. If you look right ahead of this, you know that Matthew starts his gospel with a genealogy. It's one of those genealogies that most of us just kind of skim through, right? You can confess that. You kind of skim through it when you're reading that first chapter of Matthew. But Matthew, who seems to write primarily to a Jewish audience, knows the importance of establishing the link through those all those generations from Abraham to Jesus, but especially a link right in the middle, the link to David, King David. And that's important because the Messiah, the coming Messiah, the one who would save Israel from oppression, the one who would become her king, always was connected in the prophecy to the line of David. But after that extensive and thorough genealogy and all those details, the story of Jesus' birth seems kind of short, to the point. There's no story of Matthew, or there's no story of Mary's visit with the angel Gabriel. There's no story of the trip to Bethlehem. There's no story of the house without room. There's no story of angels appearing to the shepherds. He says in verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. But then the only words from the actual birth happen later in verse 25 as just a secondary part of that sentence when it says she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Clearly, this is a man's version of the birth narrative. Right? No measurements. No stories of, no details of the labor, how long it was or how hard it was. Nothing about how Mary was feeling, what emotion she was experiencing. There aren't any illustrative details, just the important facts. But when we look carefully, we'll know that the important facts are more than just the child was born and his name was Jesus. Look again at verse 18. It says his mother was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Young Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they came together, and you know what that means, right? Before they started living together in marriage, before they became sexually active in the context of their marriage, it says Mary was found to be with child. And I can't just get this picture out of my brain. I'm sorry, but we watched The Croons lately, and I just think of that little monkey when she was found to be pregnant. Dun, dun, dun! She realized that she was pregnant. I'm pregnant. She found that she was pregnant. And we don't know if that was a surprise to everyone, or if Mary had told everyone already about what the angel Gabriel told her. We don't know the timing of it all. We don't know how long it was between the time that Gabriel came to Mary and the time that Mary became pregnant or found that she was pregnant. We don't know the way it all happened. Matthew doesn't give us any of those details, but he does tell us something incredibly important, an incredibly important detail in the last four words of that sentence. Do you know what they are? Thank you. Through the Holy Spirit. If you have your own Bible, I encourage you to underline that. Through the Holy Spirit. This child that was in Mary's womb came through the Holy Spirit. Other translations say of the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Spirit. The bottom line is that this is not an ordinary pregnancy or an ordinary child. The source of this child growing in Mary's womb is the Holy Spirit. Wow. But still, Joseph wasn't really on board, was he? And the scripture says that since he was a righteous man, he wasn't going to make this as bad as it could have been for Mary. And so he decides his plan is to end their betrothal and walk away. And it makes me wonder if Mary had talked to Joseph about the angel's visit and what the angel had told her about this baby. It makes me wonder if Joseph ever really thought much about himself being in the line of David and that the Messiah would come from that same line, and if he ever connected that in his own mind, in his own experience. It makes me wonder if Joseph was worried about his own standing in the community. Remember this small little town of Nazareth. It makes me wonder how hurt and how confused Joseph must have been feeling by this. This news that Mary's pregnancy. Even if she did explain to him the angel's visit. But however Joseph was feeling, and we don't really know, we know that he didn't act rashly. He spent some time thinking this through. Verse 20 says, but after he had considered this, in other words, after he spent some time thinking about it, pondering what he was going to do, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So even though Joseph was a righteous man, even after thinking it through as a righteous man in a righteous way, he still needed help to make the best and right decision. And so God sends an angel in his grace, sends an angel to give him an important word. And unlike Mary's situation where we knew the name of the angel, we don't know the name of this angel. But the angel knew Joseph's name. And did you see how he addressed Joseph? What did he say? Joseph, son of David. Now, I'm not sure if that would have been a normal way for Joseph to be introduced to people, or I don't think so. It wasn't his immediate father, wasn't David, but he definitely was in that line and in that tribe. It's as if the angel is reminding Joseph of his identity, and his identity is extremely important in this scenario. You, Joseph, you son of David, you, the one who's in the line of the king, to your family will be born a king. And after the angel addressed him, Joseph, son of David, what was the angel's first instruction? Don't be afraid. Isn't that what all the angels say? Right? Don't be afraid. But I think this angel says it in a different, interesting way. Not don't be afraid of me, but don't be afraid of what? Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Isn't that interesting? And all the emotions that you might imagine Joseph was feeling as he found out that Mary was pregnant, did you think about fear? Why would Joseph be afraid to take Mary as his wife? Maybe he was afraid of the loss in reputation that it would cause him. Maybe he was afraid of the anger that he would feel toward her, the resentment about this whole thing. Maybe he was afraid of the change of schedule, didn't want to deal with the reality of things going differently than planned. Or maybe if Mary indeed did have a chance to explain the word that she received from God and his angel, maybe he was afraid to believe that God was working in such a miraculous way. Afraid maybe to be a part of what God was doing. Afraid to be the father of such an important child. Maybe he was struggling with the sin of passivity like every man has struggled with since Adam. To step up and to step into the will of God. We don't know exactly what caused him to be afraid. But we know that it was strong enough that God sent an angel to go visit him and talk to him in the midst of a dream. God sent an angel to help him break through that fear. And if he was afraid of the implications of Mary's potential impropriety, that seemed to be right on top of the angel's agenda to make it clear, as Matthew had already narrated, Joseph, this child conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit and it will be a son. And he is to have the name Jesus, a name that means Yahweh or the Lord saves, because he will save his people from their sins. And then Matthew inserts in, drawing out of Isaiah's prophecy from some 700 years before, gives us another name for this child. And what's that name? Emmanuel. We've already said it in our worship service this morning several times. Emmanuel, God with us. And I just think it's wonderful to reflect on those two names for the Savior. Jesus, the one who saves. And Emmanuel, God with us. See, God doesn't save us from afar. God doesn't simply make a heavenly decree of forgiveness. God makes it personal. The world, His creation, had rebelled against Him. Men and women made in His image tried to become gods themselves. And just like every one of us, humanity had failed to live up to His righteousness. And the gift of His law only made it more clear that there is no way for man or humanity to pave its own road to salvation. So God did the most remarkable thing. God the Son, the eternal Word of God, became one of us. God came near, as He had done throughout history, but this time He came near in the flesh and body and bone and blood. He came to show us who God is and how to live God's way. He came to save us. He didn't wait until we were clean or until we earned it or until we were worthy. God wants to be with us. He wants us to be with Him. And so He came near in Jesus, who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and rose from the dead to be our living Savior and to lead us forward in the mission of God through the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Lord saves. And Emmanuel, God with us. These are the promises that we have when we're in Christ. Hallelujah. Joseph was afraid to take Mary home as his wife. He was afraid to do what God had chosen him to do. But God helped him to make room in his life for something new. Not just new expectations about the beginning of his marriage and to Mary and about how that would go, but God helped him make room for new courage. Courage to do what God was asking him to do. With the Lord's help, Joseph had to kind of push the fear to the side so that there was room for new courage. Courage to stand with Mary. Courage to take the criticism of his village. Courage to risk standing in the community. Courage to raise a child that wasn't his own. Courage to be used by God. Courage to be absolutely committed to God's will. And courage to be the earthly father of the Messiah. And so because of that new courage, when he woke up from that dream, what did he do? He did exactly what the angel of the Lord told him to do. And almost matter-of-factly, Matthew writes, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. And when she gave birth to the Son, he gave him the name Jesus. He did what the Lord asked him to do. He made room for new courage and was allowed to participate in God's epic plan of redemption. And so I think this passage bears a question for us. And I'm sure there are many, but the one I've been thinking about this week is, what are you afraid of? Is there something that God is asking you to do that you don't want to do? Something that stirs fear in you? Is there something God wants you to uncover? Is there something that God wants you to pursue? Is there a relationship that God wants changed? Is there a conversation that God wants you to have? Is there a new behavior that God wants you to engage? Is there something you need to confess to your spouse or to your friends or to your God? Is there a neighbor or a coworker or a friend that God wants you to invite to Christmas Eve? What is it that causes you to be afraid? Are you afraid of losing something valuable to you? Are you afraid of messing things up? Are you afraid of disappointing others? Are you afraid of God's plan? Maybe you're a person here today who hasn't given your life to following Jesus. Is it because of fear? Are you afraid of what it might mean for you? Are you afraid of what God might ask you to do? Are you afraid of relinquishing control? Here's the good news. Joseph didn't muster up that courage on his own. And God didn't dismiss him from this awesome and privileged responsibility when he showed fear. God graciously sent the angel of the Lord to help him make room for new courage at just the right time, in just the right way. Beloved, courage isn't the absence of fear. It's action in the midst of fear. Don't wait until the fear is gone to step out in faith or do what God is asking you to do. God will give you the courage. Make room for that new courage by taking those things that you're fearful about to the Lord in prayer. Make room for new courage by sharing them with your small group. Make room for new courage by writing about them in your journal, reflecting on them with God. Make room for them, for new courage by asking others to pray about them. Maybe even use a little prayer card that you can put in the offering plate later. Ask others to pray. God will give you the courage, but it won't mean that you won't have any fears or any doubts or any anxiety just because the word is so matter of fact. I imagine Joseph still had some fear, still had some anxiety. And not just in the moment, but throughout Jesus' life and the rest of Joseph's life. But just think. When you make room for new courage, it will mean experiencing the deep satisfaction of participating in God's work. Just think. Just imagine what a joy it must have been for Joseph to welcome Jesus, this baby, into his life. What a joy. What an awesome privilege given to him by God. You know, that first day that we were at Legoland, there was nothing I could do to talk Kate into stepping out of her fear and stepping onto the Coastersaurus. Andrew and I and Rebecca enjoyed it without her. Then later, Diane and Rebecca and Andrew enjoyed it without her. But we liked Legoland so much, we bought season passes. I mean, why not? And we ended up coming back in that month several times. And I was so proud of Kate. But because the time that we left the park that first night, and a few days later when we came back to the park a second day, Kate had made a decision. That even though she was afraid, she made room for new courage. And at the encouragement of her brother, her little brother, and her little sister, and her parents, she made room for new courage to face her fear and to ride the Coastersaurus. And guess what? She loved it. She loved it. And when she took that step, all of us benefited. And one of our favorite family memories of riding the Coastersaurus was this. Leave it up there, Brandon, because obviously they're soaking it in still. Now, my face in that picture is for another sermon on some other day. But look at Kate's face. I wish you could see it more closely. This is one of my favorite pictures from that whole summer. Pure joy. Pure delight. Pure abandon. Because she made room for new courage. And not only did she benefit, but her whole family benefited. Her community benefited from her making room for new courage. And one of the favorite memories we have of that summer was sometimes we go down to Legoland after dinner and we would go right to the coaster stores and we would get on and we would ride it and then we'd get off and we'd run all through the zigzag of the line back. We'd get on it again and we'd run around in the zigzag of the line. Finally, they're like, just stay on, just stay on. And we would ride it again and again and again. Until finally the poor kid had to say, I'm sorry, folks. You know, the park's closed. One more time, the kids would say. And you'd say, okay. And we ride it all by ourselves sometimes. All because that experience together as a family, that moment, because Kate made room for new courage. And her community helped her. Church, I'm confident that there's going to be some stuff in front of us as a church that is going to require, or is going to cause, actually, some fear. God's going to ask us to step out of our comfort zone or start something new or prune back something that exists now or to make some changes or to welcome in new folks, or to send out some existing folks. Part of what it means to be a church on God's mission is that we have to put our lives on the line for the sake of the gospel. So let's not let fear get in the way of being a church that matters for Christ's mission in the world. Let's make room for new courage. And we may never have an angel of the Lord appear to us in the worship service or in a dream or whatever, but to tell us what God wants us to do. But I'll tell you something. We have something better. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, empowering us for the mission that God calls us to do the things that God calls us to do, to make room for us of new courage and to give us that courage, to infuse us with that courage. So may we make room for the Spirit to give us new courage so that we might show others the truth about Jesus, Emmanuel, the one who saves, the God who is with us. Let us make room for new courage so that His kingdom would be advanced. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word, God. We thank you, God, for the way that you stir in us by your Spirit. Lord, help us today to see what it is that causes us to fear. We thank you for Joseph. We know so little about him, God. And yet we know that even though he was afraid, he did what was required of the Lord. He did what you asked him to do. And because of that, he got to experience something so profound, so utterly remarkable, that he was changed forever, I'm sure. So, Lord Jesus, would you by your Spirit Help us to see those things that cause us fear. And then give us the courage to confess those things to you, to talk to others about them, to consider them before you, God, so that we might make room for new courage, a fresh infusion of courage. Lord, and I know that there are some things happening in the life of this congregation, even right now, today. We need your courage, Lord. We need your courage to do what's right. We need your courage to follow your will. We need your courage to pursue healing. We need your courage to pursue sharing with others the incredible good news that you are. We need your courage just to make it through whatever it is that we might be facing right now. We need your courage. So God, by your Spirit, would you fill us again with courage? It's our privilege, Lord, in the context of our worship, to respond. And one of those ways that we respond is by giving back to you, God, tithes and offerings. Lord, and we know that this doesn't make you more rich. How could that ever happen? But thank you that as we give, you make us more. You grow us and you shape us. And you help us to know what it means to give away in the way that you have been so generous to us. So come, Holy Spirit, as we continue to worship. Be glorified in our offering and in our response this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.